listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
From theblogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network.
I'm Qualler.
I'm Chris.
I'm Bridget.
And our opinions are valid.
Welcome to the first episode, blah, blah, blah.
We got that in unison. My opinions are valid.
Yeah, that was well. Good. That was
that's
good.
That's our catchphrase. Yeah. You'll hear it a lot.
Soon
you'll start using it at school with your friends.
We're here to talk to you about the majesty that is television. And we're going to start out by talking about some new On the Tube shows.
New On the Tube.
What's
not
new?
Not YouTube.
It's different than YouTube.
Tube is another word for television.
Did you know that YouTube took their name?
Oh my gosh.
From the idea.
It's all becoming really clear
there
to me right
now.
Okay.
You are on the tube
I get
right
it.
Now.
That, yeah, for a long time I had a hard time finding that website because I would look up YouTube, like the letter U. I didn't get it at all.
Really?
I'm kind of an idiot.
Is that a true story?
That's a true story.
True story.
True story. Okay. So new on the tube, what are we excited about? Let's start with the Chicago Code, Chris.
I think that's probably the show that at least Qualler and I are most excited about.
Mm-hmm. What network is that on?
That's on Fox.
Thanks.
It's basically what I like to call is the wire light.
The wired light.
As far as the police department angle goes.
So would you call it the wire hopeful?
No, I would call it the wire distilled into network television.
So you can kind of leave parameters. It behind when you turn off that particular show.
It's mostly entertaining, but as far as network cop shows, probably I'd say it's probably the first one since Homicide, which is also from the creators of The Wire, that's been on network TV where it's not just a case of the week kind of thing, but it also kind of tells the stories of characters and corruption within the police department.
Mm.
And I don't know. I mean, I started watching Southland a couple years ago when that was on,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately that kind of devolved into a soap opera. Mm-hmm. I didn't really mm-hmm. talk too much about mm-hmm. the corruption of the police department.
Mm.
But I've only seen the pilot in the second episode so far. What about you, Qualler?
Me too.
But it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Good but not great?
I haven't read... Well, I haven't seen more than two episodes. My understanding is that it's good. It's very well written. The dialogue is snappy. Mm-hmm. Moves
from
along
Sean Ryan,
quickly.
Creator of The Shield.
Right, exactly.
The Shield.
And
there's a
Terriers. Some criticism has been lobbed at it that it's it is. Some have said that it has it's actually kind of turned into a Southland type thing where.
And Southland is different than Southland Tales.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
More soap opera type stuff.
Yeah, kind of.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not good anymore.
I don't think it's really well. I feel like you need to give a show like at least an entire first season before you can fairly say whether it's worth your time or not,
so,
which is kind of, you know.
For someone, I haven't seen the Chicago Code yet because I don't like to watch things with the word Chicago or code in the title generally. That's mm-hmm. one of my rules.
Chicago
but,
Hope.
Right.
The upcoming film Source Code.
Right, for example. you know, for someone like me, would you say give it a shot?
I'd say give it a shot. The pilot is reels you in. It's got a good it's smarter than what you would expect.
Is it worth like scheduling my time to watch it when it's live, or is this something that I could catch on Netflix or, I mean, on demand or on Hulu?
I wouldn't say, I would say like any show, I think, that you're starting out with, mm-hmm. it's probably better to watch a big batch of them and sample it.
Let it kind of pile up.
Yeah.
I think the characters are good, especially the main character.
Yeah, their main character played by Jennifer Beals. She plays the police, what is it, chief? Or
the chief officer. I don't know too much about the hierarchy.
Right. But, she's a boss.
She's the boss.
And then you got Jason Clarke. Uh-huh. He's from Brotherhood on Showtime. Wow. And he's
really good, too.
He's a detective who... you know, kind of a McNulty type character. And then you got Matt Lauria of Friday Night Lights.
I just made that connection.
He played Fours, Luke from Friday Night Lights.
He's the rookie.
Fours.
Like him.
And you know, there's a lot of good Chicago banter between Jason Clarke and Matt Lauria. They talk, you know, Lauria is, you know, he's kind of a tough guy, so he's a Sox fan.
Matt Lauria
is kind of a pretty boy, so he's kind of a Cubs fan. Yep.
See, that's something I can relate to.
There you go.
All right, so Chicago Code on Fox. Give it a
Give it a watch.
Give it a watch.
Recommend.
Watch on Hulu.
Give it a watch.
On a boring afternoon.
You've already seen those particular Real Housewives episodes that they're airing on Bravo.
Sure.
If you're Bridget.
That's...
If you're most of America.
If you're most of America.
Chris.
Speaking of shows you shouldn't watch, Mr. Sunshine on ABC.
Should not watch?
Kind of a train wreck.
Really? But it's called Mr. Sunshine.
Right. The best thing about it is its theme song. But unfortunately, Matthew Perry is just... a wreck in it. It looks like he's constantly struggling to try to find a good show within it, as he's this character who runs a sports arena, and Allison Janney is character is looped up on drugs, and so she's also kind of scrambling, wishing she isn't there as she's playing the part. It's really depressing to watch.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, Bridget and I have found that watching reruns of Friends is better than watching most.
Oh yeah. Thing. Mm-hmm. Better than watching most of what the Friends are doing now.
Right. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Except
for
I've heard that Episodes on Showtime is pretty good.
And Lisa Kudrow in general,
she's
done okay for herself.
Has she?
Cougartown.
Cougartown, yeah. Cougartown's good.
Well, yeah, Lisa, because Romy and Michelle, that was funny.
Yeah.
And other stuff.
That was still the 90s.
She was on a show on HBO for a season.
What show was that?
The Comeback.
Oh, God, I don't even know that existed.
It was mildly applauded. Yeah.
That's so bad.
Jennifer Ann, you know.
So, Mr. Sunshine, have you seen it, Qualler?
I have not seen it.
Okay. No. I couldn't. I mean, I did have the whole pilot on in the background, but after about 22 minutes of the 24 minutes, rather than committing myself to those final 2 minutes, I left the room.
Wow. You didn't even turn the, the TV off or change the channel.
No,
you just had to leave the room.
I just left the room.
So we're going to give that a maybe not.
That's a definitely not.
That's a definitely not. All right.
Coming back to the theme song thing,
mm-hmm.
one minus about the Chicago Code is the theme song is by Billy Corgan.
Yes.
And it's...
What's wrong with Billy Corgan?
He can't sing like this now because he's old.
Yeah. He's trying to be old and like throaty mature, but he's still got like the really whiny...
Right. He's still... Still working out some things.
Yeah.
Still working through some things.
Yeah, sure. Keep
writing that poetry, Billy. We believe in you.
Sure.
How about Bob's Burgers on Fox? That's one that I think the three of us have all seen a couple episodes of.
Yeah. I'm a moderate fan.
Yeah. That style of animation makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I liked what I saw. I saw an episode. I think it's worth diluting the Seth MacFarlane pool a little bit on the Fox.
It's now the best thing on Sunday night on Fox, which is not saying much, but
we're just making a sad face or a worried face or something.
I'm fine. Okay. That just makes me feel
I know, right?
I miss the glory days
when
of the
we
Simpsons.
Were kids and we'd watch The Simpsons and even King of the Hill.
I love King of the Hill. I still like reruns of King of the Hill, but
but Bob's Burgers is pretty good. Unfortunately, it seems like there is some pressure to have some of the Seth MacFarlane type humor in that, like
the absurdist
or the long pauses and the saying the same thing joke over and over again,
right,
trying to get back from being not funny to funny.
So like if Simpsons was modernism, Seth MacFarlane would be postmodernism.
Sure. Or crap,
and that would be okay for a while, but
And but I mean, there is a lot of good things about Bob's Burgers that clearly come from the creators of Home Movies, which is my personal favorite animated
show. Which I also
show.
Can't get past this, the
Squiggle Vision.
But Bob's Burgers isn't Squiggle Vision.
No, it's not. But something about the way they're drawn just makes me feel like kind of like creepy. Sure. Like I have to shower.
It's a little creepy.
Like the way Mary Catherine Gallagher makes me feel. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like
H. John Benjamin is the star. He's also the star of Archer, which is very, very funny.
That's funny.
I highly recommend that.
That is
but
funny.
That's not really new. That's the second year. Sure.
Still, right. still glad.
But anyway,
so the you know let's look at Bob's Burgers predictions. Is it renewed for a second season?
According to TVByTheNumbers.com, it's on the bubble right now.
Okay. So. Well, and what do we think? Do you think it's going to get another shot?
I think it should. I mean, just yeah. because I think it could grow into more of its own.
Television is not about should, Chris. Do we think it will? Right. Predictions, Chris?
I think it will.
Yeah?
I think Waller? It will.
I think it will get a tentative mid-season renewal
Good.
Next year.
All right. Yeah. I think it'll go on for 5 more seasons and then be canceled.
Like King of the Hill.
Yeah.
King of the Hill was always on the edge, mm-hmm. even though
it was so funny.
A great show.
Love King of the Hill.
Quality show.
What about this next one, Qualler? I know there's...
Lights Out?
Yeah. It's a great show, right?
It's
You can address that one to Bridget, too, because I've actually been on board with this, even though it's, you know, it's
I've watched the first gentleman, but... First 5 episodes, I think 8 have aired. It's excellent.
Good.
It's I might be reading a little bit too much into it, but I think it purveys a great message about America and about capitalism and about the lifestyle that people live.
It's more about capitalism than boxing. I would say.
This main character, Patrick Lights Leary, he's an ex heavyweight champion. Who is starting to find himself in financial trouble. And you know, there are a lot of, you can't box your way out of this one, Lights kind of things going on.
He is
going
to try to box his way out.
But he literally will try to box his way out of it.
By returning to the ring, even though he's kind of old.
But it has a lot of great stuff kind of between the lines about the way Americans act in general about, I'm good for this. I got it. This time, you know, I got the money.
There's a lot of a sense of like entitlement to certain things, taking things into one's own hand, thinking about yourself and maybe your immediate family before the community or anything else. And
would you call it a dense show?
Yeah, it's pretty dense.
Without being pretentious,
it's dense, but it's easy to watch. It's very watchable.
Yeah,
I think, kind of like Qualler said, you can read into it what you want, and if you want to look at it as an interesting show about.
It's got the boxing kind of rags to riches mm-hmm. type of thing going on it on the surface level, but it's also got a lot of interesting.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting about it. It reminds me in a lot of ways of the Wrestler, the Aronofsky.
I love that movie
film that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
In the sense that America loves a comeback story. And I don't think we're going to get that with this.
Yep.
But it's kind of building to, maybe we will, but I don't see that happening.
The main character is played by Hoyt McElnahay. I can't remember. But he's very, very good. He's Emmy worthy for
sure. What are the people behind the show? Are they showrunners?
The current showrunner is Warren Light. He ran the second season of In Treatment, and he also worked on a couple other shows I can't remember, but it's got an In Treatment kind of vibe to it, and it's very
very introspective.
It's very introspective for a boxing centered drama. It's got a lot of dialogue.
Well, boxing's a fairly introspective sport, really, because who are you really fighting?
Right, that's a good point.
A projection of yourself,
right?
One of my favorite things about the fourth episode is Lights and his pops. His name is Pops. Played by Stacey Keach, they're in a bar, and Pops is saying, put on the fight, telling the bartender, put on the fight. And the bartender looks at him and says, well, the fight's already on. And he looks up, and it's a mixed martial arts fight. And, looking at it from a sports angle that ever since Mike Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear, that was kind of the end of the popularity of boxing in America as we know it. Now mixed martial arts has kind of taken over. For that, that little scene, I think, is a good indication of what they're saying about, the world is passing these people by, and yet they're hanging on to it like it means something still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good show. I definitely say watch it.
I'd give it a shot. Unfortunately, yeah. Hulu only does, you know, the 5 episodes at a time, and I got too late on the bandwagon. I think they're on episode 5 through 8 right now.
I would even recommend, if you buy, you know, purchase them on whatever is available, the first 4 episodes, and then try to catch up with Hulu.
They're
that's how
good.
Strongly
I'll check my bank account.
All right.
Speaking of a comeback, how about this NBC comedy that we're kind of laughing at?
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a few weeks, though.
I hate it.
Oh, really? Just me? All right.
My wife likes it. Perfect Couples, ladies and germs.
Yeah, Perfect Couples. Want to hate it, and I would not go out of my way to watch it, but every time it's on, Qualler and I chuckle. Sometimes the chuckle turns into, that's funny.
It's kind of this this era's version of The Single Guy.
Right.
The Single Guy. I did watch The Single Guy.
Yeah, it's totally watchable.
No shame.
It's totally
Caroline
watchable.
Caroline in the City. Kind of.
Yeah.
Who's the waitress from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Mary Elizabeth something.
Well, she's in it. The waitress.
She's funny. Very funny.
They're all pretty. It's funny. I think it's got a really specific shtick, and I think it's going to wear out pretty quickly. But it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but who knows? Who knows? Because, you know.
According to TVByTheNumbers.com, push out like my glasses and type motion.
Uh-huh.
Being a nerd.
Right. I was a nerd.
It's on the bubble also for renewal.
So. Yeah, and I'm not going to be sad if it's not renewed. I won't be that happy if it is. I like it.
It's perfectly fine.
It's perfectly fine. It's the, what's that actor's name? The adequate.
Bill Pullman?
Oh, the capable Tate Donovan.
It's a Tate Donovan of the NBC
we're talking about
lineup.
That's like when the show Damages with Glenn Close, you know, all these glory actors. And then you got the perfectly capable Tate Donovan.
He's doing just fine. He's doing just fine.
You know who's not doing fine? Miss Kathy Bates.
The unsinkable Molly Brown. What happened to you? You were in that movie North.
Yeah,
you played a quote-unquote Eskimo.
Right.
Talking about Harry's Law.
Also an NBC show. And
unwatchable.
I'm almost exhausted from talking about how much I loathe David E. Kelly, who's the creator. Sure. Ally McBeal and The Practice, and now Harry's Law. Hate Ally McBeal. I like The Practice. And now
you like The Practice?
I do. I still think The Practice is a quality legal show.
Right.
But unfortunately, he's done the same thing over and over again to the point where it's absolutely horrendous, and Harry's Law, I don't think there's much to say about it other than keep away. It's basically just David E. Kelly looking for a pulpit to proselytize all these simplified viewpoints about the world. And
there's a blonde who likes to shop.
Yeah.
Played
Black
by Brittany
people
Snow.
Sell drugs.
Dr. Peace's wannabe girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, Brittany Snow. Yeah.
It's just bad, and it's offensive.
It is.
Here's
a couple levels. Like, here, offensive as a viewer because it's so bad.
Here are a couple interesting tidbits. One, it is now NBC's highest rated scripted show.
Unfortunately.
Wow.
And number two, it still might not get renewed because it doesn't get the key demo ratings.
Only old people watch it.
Yeah.
Well, they're still buying stuff up till the day they die. Speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about development, heaven and hell, moving away from what's on the tube or television currently to what we're excited about that's coming up.
Or anti-excited about.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know the difference anymore.
No, I don't. I mean, all of these shows we're going to talk about, I will watch.
Right, but they're all...
All of them
just
might be terrible.
Right.
One of them will not be terrible.
Two of them will not be terrible.
Two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, one of them. One of them will definitely... Let's get to the list.
Let's get to the list.
The number one that I'm the most and least excited about is called Terra Nova. It's going to be on Fox, and it has something to do with dinosaurs, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dinosaurs.
It's basically Land of the Lost minus the comedy element, correct?
Uh-huh.
Land of the Lost was supposed to be funny.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
isn't it
something about like dinosaurs, but it's like people who are in the present and the environment is failing us?
Oh, so the environment.
So they go back in time to try
messages.
To restart civilization.
Thanks a lot.
But for some reason, they go back in time to the point in which giant creatures can eat them easily.
I suppose Fox is
like
allowed to air a show
that seems
pro-environment.
Worse than living in a world of pollution.
Maybe that's the message. Like, we're all, liberals are all talking about the global warming, but at least we're not getting eaten by dinosaurs.
Maybe.
Right? Let's keep the status quo going because we're afraid of dinosaurs. That's usually how I live my life.
At TCA this year, Television Critics Association press conference, the creator Brandon Braga was asked how involved is Steven Spielberg in the production? because Steven Spielberg is listed as a producer, and he said, oh, yeah, yeah, Spielberg is really, really heavily involved, which means he's not at all involved.
So. TV code.
Yeah.
Well, I like anything with dinosaurs.
No,
and
me too.
Terra Nova. That's
loosely sketched characters and dinosaurs combined.
Right. Yeah.
I will watch anything with dinosaurs.
Okay, that's better.
I will enjoy only Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow. Not even the Land Before Time series?
I don't know.
You've never seen it?
I enjoy my memories of it.
Oh, let's watch.
Okay, let's go.
Land Before Time. Yeah. Is that a TV series, too?
No.
Oh.
Only the first one is really
The only dinosaur TV shows, I think, are Denver the Last Dinosaur and Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, yeah.
And Land of the Lost.
There was a syndicated Land of the Lost, but that was something. It was a syndicated show called The Lost World. Does anyone remember that?
The Lost World?
Yeah, but it wasn't related to
Michael Crichton.
This is before
Jurassic Park 2?
It was after, but it was like,
but unrelated.
So unrelated.
What?
I remember watching this on like, it was like syndicated late at night, and there was like weird one like blonde woman with big boobs and
that's why you're watching.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well,
in the
dinosaurs basically.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well,
really into dinosaurs, mom.
So I think we're going to say that that's could be in either development heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Most likely hell.
Purgatory. Do we have that?
Yeah, we could do that.
Limbo?
Put it in purgatory, Brendan Braga.
Put it in purgatory.
Number two, I think, is definitely the one. Is this the one we are all agreeing that's going to be in heaven?
No.
I was thinking of number four.
Okay.
But let's talk about number two.
I think it's going to be in heaven.
Okay.
Because I...
What is it called?
It's called The Killing. It's going to be on AMC. It's AMC's first foray into the murder mystery.
AMC has done pretty well for themselves. So
they've only done a few shows, but everything I've seen from there is at least good.
Except I'm going to get it mixed up with The Killers. And
what
kills.
Is The Killer? Those are bands.
That's music.
So.
Present.
Right, but same difference.
You're good.
The Killing. So that's about murder?
Yeah, it's based on a Danish television show, and it'll basically show you both angles from the suspects and the detectives, but it'll be take place over the course of an entire season.
Now, when you say based on, you mean stolen scene from scene?
Yes.
Okay. Then it'll probably be good, because the Danes know what they're doing.
Right, and it'll probably be depressing and cold,
mm-hmm.
And I'm down with that.
Cool.
I mean, there's only been a teaser out for it so far, and I know that AMC tries to keep things under wraps, but,
I think it premieres April 3rd.
Yeah.
So it's coming up pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, I think it's going to, hopefully influence more people to realize that they can do the murder mystery stuff and keep viewers, but also still have it be a serial program and not have to do a different murder every week.
Not have to do like an LA Law. Is that still on?
No.
What are the kids watching these days?
CSI.
CSI.
NCIS.
NCIS. I liked LA Law. Remember Jimmy Smits?
No.
Okay. The one that I think we're all pretty sure will land itself in hell, but we're all going to enjoy watching it get there.
Out of curiosity.
Definitely. Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23. It's on ABC. It's going to be Dawson Leary's big comeback.
That's James Vanderbeek.
Read the press release that
for Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23?
For DTTBIA23.
That just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
It centers on June, played by Dreema Walker, an earnest, optimistic girl from the heartland.
Sounds like a
new country,
character.
I call it.
Yeah.
Who is forced to move in with Chloe, played by Kristen Ritter of Breaking Bad, a sexy, unstable New York party girl who has the morals of a pirate. The morals of a pirate.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Vanderbeek will play Chloe's best friend, James Vanderbeek, a heightened version of himself in the vein of Neil Patrick Harris's stint in the Harold and Kumar movies.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not interesting. Okay. Anyway.
a heightened reality version of himself means if you like me, it's all me.
Right.
But if I seem like a total asshole.
Hey kids, have you seen the memes about me?
Right. On the interwebs.
It's his.
Remember that show?
It's kind of the death
bleep
rattle.
My dad says.
Yeah. Did that get renewed?
I don't know. I think that's gone.
Okay. Good.
I hope so.
But it's weird because for obvious reasons, but I think it's specifically weird because ABC. Generally, a family-oriented network is putting on a show on the air entitled Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23.
Yeah.
And the bitch refers to James Vanderbeek. Is that correct?
I think it's the unstable, sexy girl who has the morals of a pirate.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows where this could go or even if it'll...
I know I'm going to like it.
Watch it.
Yeah, we'll watch it.
Watch it.
We'll watch it.
Out of
will it have
concern.
A laugh track?
Well, yeah. Provided by us. Yeah.
Maybe it'll do something meta, like James Van Beek walks around with a tape recorder that has a laugh track on it.
But he was never on a show that featured a laugh track, so that wouldn't be very James Van Der Beek of him.
Mm. It's a heightened reality.
Right, but I'm thinking like extreme like teenage soap opera Dawson's Creek style stuff.
Oh, so he's going to be wearing J. Crew.
I'm hoping. Looking pensive. That's my hope.
Okay. But it's a sitcom, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a sitcom?
Yeah, it's a sitcom.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be a drama.
It's an hour drama called Don't Trust the Bitch.
I would watch that. Would you not watch that? I was thinking it would, in the directing style of I Know Who Killed Me, starring Lindsay Lohan.
Ooh, good film.
Great film. Yeah. Nothing like David Lynch. Right. This is the one, number four on our list. This is what Mark Waller and I were
Game
talking
of Thrones,
about.
Debuts April 17th, and
You read the book series.
I read the first book, which the first season of Game of Thrones is based on.
But this is the one that I thought for sure we would agree is gonna end up in heaven.
My only reservation is the fantasy thing. But you said that I should not be.
The thing about Game of Thrones is myself. I don't go either way on fantasy.
Nerd alert.
I don't love fantasy. I don't hate fantasy.
He loves fantasy.
But the book itself, the first book. I know a lot of people have read all the books. Blah 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 blah. it's really, really well written. It's written like it's a TV show in a way already. There are a lot of characters who are all, a lot of them are very interesting characters. There are really well developed, child characters that are really interesting dynamic between them.
What's the basic plot?
without sounding nerdy.
Give me events. Why should I?
There are a lot of different families in this.
It's like The Sopranos meets Middle Earth. Isn't that how they pitched it?
Yeah, that was the pitch.
Okay. So the mafia lives with dragons.
But they're not the mafia. They're royal families.
Yeah, so there are a lot of different royal families in this land called Westeros. And
made up, right?
And the king, the original king, dies, and so it's a game of thrones who will take the throne, and there are a lot of political maneuverings and people that, you know, they thought that I thought you were my friend, but you weren't, and backstabbing, and...
Do you think it'll be better than the Tudors?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. And then in the meantime, there's also a kind of a side thing going on with brother and sister. The brother is kind of this crazy guy who's kind of scrawny but wants to be the king, but he's also crazy, and they're also descended from dragons somehow. And this thing that's going on in the side kind of will intertwine as the series goes on.
So is there a grandpa dragon character?
No, there is not. They're really I'm guessing based on the book there really won't be any dragons per se in the first season, but
later
they'll definitely be in the backdrop,
like Eureka's Castle.
Those are my kind of dragon.
Yeah. I like that. So
we're gonna say it's gonna be in development heaven.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. Well, I mean, it's HBO, so it's going to at least be.
And I know a lot of nerds who really liked
a lot of nerds
series.
Are going to be very excited.
Yeah. Cool. The last one, I think, is most likely going to be in hell, especially because people keep waffling back and forth on whether it's actually going to happen, is NBC's adaptation of Wonder Woman, featuring Adrienne Pilkey of Friday Night Lights as the title character. Just that last bit of info alone, just the casting info, is the only reason I wanted to talk about it on the show
she's
today.
Hot.
She
hot
is
like
a Wonder Woman
character.
Herself.
Yeah. Not only is she very attractive, I actually think she's one of the better actresses, younger actresses on TV today.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. She's excellent.
She's great in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. But at the same time, you don't usually have a quality thespian play a superhero.
Right.
Right.
And look at NBC's track record of remaking, the Knight Rider. I was going to say White Knight. Knight Rider.
White Knight. The White Knight Rider.
The White Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Bionic Woman.
Patrick Stewart was in
those
mutant movies, wasn't he?
Right, but he wasn't a main character.
But he was a quality thespian playing a superhero.
That's true. Okay, I meant as a protagonist.
I think Elizabeth Hurley.
You meant as a woman, I think?
I think Elizabeth Hurley's recently been cast as the villain.
I hate her.
Oh boy.
So she'll squint at Adrian Palicki a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's had a lot of plastic surgery too.
Yeah. Remember, was she married to Hugh Grant?
Yeah. When he had that whole prostitute scandal.
Oh yeah.
Bothered me.
Remember the 90s? Yeah.
So we think it's going to end up in hell, but we're going to enjoy every moment of its descent.
Yeah.
Show us something, NBC. Right. Show me something.
Okay, so we're ready for our big talk for this
episode
of Plug the Radio, first inaugural one. And so we thought it'd be a good idea to just do a recap from 2010, our top 10 TV shows, so people get a chance to know what we think about the shows that either are currently on television or recently ended. Shall we start with number 10?
Let's do number 10.
Why'd you become a dentist? You're going to laugh. Really? That's your biggest concern right now.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The song?
TV special.
Well, I'm sure I've seen it.
I know you've seen it. It was what was on the TV when we were in Brownsville.
See, I knew I'd seen it.
You remember a character named Hermie?
Help me out.
Hermie's the elf that makes toys, but really wants to be a dentist.
Oh, the little gay dude!
He's not gay.
Raleigh, are you trying to tell me you're gay?
I'm not gay!
Number 10 is Justified on FX. Creator is Graham Yost, along with the author and creator of the main character, Raylan Givens, Elmore Leonard, author. Mm-hmm. What do you guys like about Justified?
Everything.
Do you watch Justified?
You know, I'm starting to watch this new season with Qualler. I've only actually seen like an episode or two, but this is going to sound ridiculous, but the new promos totally got me.
The Super Bowl one with him in the convenience store.
And the one where he's talking about that
he's
green feller on Star Wars.
First.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I guess as someone who hasn't watched it, but I'd like to go back from the beginning and watch it, or at least start watching the season. I just love that guy, that main character.
Timothy Olyphant
playing Raylan Givens. He's great.
Yeah, Timothy Olyphant as Raylan Givens is smoldering on the screen.
Yeah.
He's
holy
very
handsome alert.
Yeah, he really
makes
the show the same way Michael C. Hall makes Dexter.
Yes, that's an excellent comparison.
And I think the surrounding environment and the sense of place and the characters, and I think it's even stronger than a show like Dexter.
Yeah. I mean, he plays a U.S. Marshal, but ostensibly it's a cop show where he has to figure out a crime. But the nice thing about season one is that you have a set of episodes that are basically your case of the weeks, but they're very, very unique case of the weeks because they kind of have that Elmore Leonard touch where it's very pulpy, but also very super dramatic and twisty as well. And on top of that, you have the main villain, Boyd Crowder, played by Walton
Goggins.
Goggins.
Yep.
And through kind of integrating that arc throughout it, I think was a brilliant move, at least business-wise for FX, because they got to reeling viewers by thinking, oh, this is a show where you're going to be able to watch it casually, but also if you invest your time in it, it's going to have this nice overarching effect by the time you get to the end of the season. And it seems like that's kind of what they're trying to do again with this new season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think personally... I don't mind the procedural case of the week type of things if they also work in a reason to watch it every week,
right.
and they do a very, very good show. Yeah.
And they very carefully develop Raylan Givens, so he's not like your Horatio whatever on CSI where he's just a blank slate.
Oh yeah, he's got his own problems. He's got he's got issues.
He's got his own demons.
He's got his dad that's kind of a bad guy. And yeah, even the premise of the show is that he's forced to return home to Kentucky because of he's just basically too much of a badass.
Yeah.
So in between all these case of the week things, you see him being reintroduced.
That's why I had to come back to Minnesota by the way.
Right.
You see him being reintroduced to people who are villains who say things like, I remember when you were a baseball player on the high school baseball team.
Yeah, that is nice. Like every week, even with the case of the week stuff, you get to meet a character and they know Raylan.
Yeah.
And so that kind of gives you a clue about something from his past that we didn't previously
know. He wears a cowboy hat like no one I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And then the references to it very subtly throughout the show, I think, are often hilarious. That's probably another reason why I like it so much. It's not your straight cop drama.
It's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
have
I think that's why the promos for this season have been drawing me in, because it seems like it's kind of laughing at
they
itself.
They do a good job of really, the promos do a great job of describing the tone of the show.
Wink, mm-hmm.
Why you want to watch it.
Yeah. But it's not too winky.
No, not too.
Because that can get annoying.
It winks, right. But then it's also getting the job done.
And now Elmore Leonard is straight up helping executive produce the show.
Yeah, he has been all along. Yeah.
So he's not just the basis of it. He's clearly involved in the voice of it.
Definitely.
Yes. Number 9.
Axionic. Reading on deuterium levels?
705.2. Captain.
Your ship will never withstand the quantum flux between a binary star.
What's that? Binary, what is that?
It's when, like, two stars become four.
Oh, it's not important. We just gotta keep the flow going.
It will in a Gödel space-time field.
Without negative energy synthesis?
We reverse the tachyon cannon, generate an Alubierre warp quantum tunnel through the Kauki horizon.
And form a naked singularity.
To Clark!
What are you doing on the bridge? You should be in a surgitube.
I was scared. I heard explosions.
If the coordinates you stole from your boyfriend aren't accurate, you'll hear more, because this ship will be totally atomized.
Boyfriend? He's a slave trader. I was nothing to him but merchandise.
Fine merchandise. Du Clark?
The best.
Party down.
Rest in peace.
The dearly departed.
Yeah, from the Stars Network. Probably Stars' first and last good show. Creators John Enborn, Dan Etheridge, Paul Rudd, and Rob Thomas. Rob Thomas of Veronica Mars fame. why'd you laugh at that?
It
sounds like Matchbox 20, right?
Because there are lots of other stars on that show, and that you made a special nod to Rob Thomas because of Veronica Mars. That's why I laughed. But that is a funny show, I'll tell you what.
And you know, it's it's a show that it's very much like laughs per minute, kind of. That's how you judge how much you like an episode. But when you look in reflection as well, the characters are all amazingly developed. Yeah.
Second season, they kind of explored the romance, will she or will they or won't they angle between Paul Rudd and Lizzie Kaplan's characters. And Adam Scott.
Wait, is Paul Rudd on that show?
No.
He
was on an episode.
Yeah, he actually...
I'm looking at on this list, and I'm thinking...
He was originally supposed to be the main character of the Adam Scott role.
Oh, but I like Adam
HBO,
Scott.
But it was rejected by HBO because they wanted it to be a little more inside biz.
Adam Scott could play a young conservative in a film set in 1985.
You're saying he could?
He could.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then he would...
Because I totally believed you
and then he would meet
and I was like, what?
He would meet that punk girl.
A punk girl.
It would change the way he felt about life forever.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I think when you mentioned like the little will they or won't they, I think that was kind of the center for it. But at the same time, part of the will they or won't they that they did was original was that it was also based on these two caterers' careers.
And yeah.
That kind of played into whether they will were attracted they or won't to each they. Other. Or will they, won't they become actors?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or will they be stuck in this catering business forever? I love Ken Marino as the boss, and I love Bill from Freaks and Geeks. I'm blanking on his real name.
Martin Starr. Yeah.
And who's the woman character?
Megan Mullally was in the second
Not
season.
Megan Mullally, the young woman with the dark hair.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan. Yep. Okay, yeah. I don't know why I blanked on her name. I didn't realize until recently that she's a main character in the movie Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't
punk,
not
the
even
punk
like
girl, the goth girl or whatever.
Recognize her
yeah.
until
yeah.
going back and watching
versatile.
It and it was like, oh my god.
Versatility.
Yeah.
So I recommend if anybody hasn't seen Party Down or has only watched it casually to definitely go back and watch it from beginning to end because it's very well constructed.
This is a great way to spend a weekend.
Yeah.
A weekend,
there are only 10 episodes
say
in the season.
A Minnesota weekend in March when you don't feel like going out, order a pizza, watch it on Is it on Netflix or Hulu?
It's on Netflix streaming.
Yeah.
You can start in the first season, too, if you want to.
It's definitely, as each episode ends, you want to go
fire up the next one.
Right away.
Yeah, and, you know, I was initially mad at Glee for stealing Jane Lynch from Party Down because I think she's really good in season one. But you mentioned Megan Mullally, and I think she's arguably even better.
I would say so.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Hi. I just wanted to say I thought you were really funny.
Wow, thank you. Thanks very much.
I was listening to what you said about younger girls, though.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not true. Not for all of us.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
Well, I'm really turned on by older guys.
You are?
Sure.
How old are you?
26. That turns you on, doesn't it? Just the number.
Can I ask you, why do you like older guys?
I don't know. Guys my age just suck. They all think they're so great. They have all this annoying energy, and they're all pink and smooth like a baby. Ew.
Yeah, I guess I...
But older guys are just relaxed. I mean, you've given up, which makes you grounded. Your skin is all loose and a little dry, and you smell weird.
You smell weird?
Totally. Do you mind? Yeah, you smell.
Like what?
I don't know, like... dying. It's sexy.
Is a show that, unfortunately, we don't have anybody here to detract from us, because I know some people can't stand this show or don't get it. It's Louis on FX with Louis C.K., creator, editor, everything.
Louis C.K. is the star. He's the man.
The man behind the show.
Right.
Exactly. Behind the funny. The man behind the
everything.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are put off by it because just straight up, it's kind of strange.
It's a very strange show. It's a very idiosyncratic show.
I would think that too, except this is the show that, like, over winter break when we were at my parents' house out in the burbs and showed a couple episodes to my mom, and then she insisted
your family,
on watching the whole thing.
Bridget,
and then my
it doesn't
dad
really
watched
count.
It.
Bridget, your family is very weird.
They're normal suburban people with normal Midwestern values. No, they're weird. But it is kind of strange, but I also think it's wider reaching than I would have given it credit for. I did not think that this was a show that my parents would enjoy.
Well, that's part of the beauty of it, because even though it's got a very strange structure and very weird tone to it, it's very universal. And I mean, Louis C.K. clearly knows that in order to be a successful comedian, you've got to be able to say things that relate to not just people's, you know, what people think are funny, but what people experience in their own lives growing up and what have you.
And it's a nice mix of the stand-up humor, funny, and then also showing kind of snapshots of someone's life. And it's funny, but that you reflect on it, and another kind of funny but poignant show,
right.
I think. Like it,
yeah, kind of
alternating
between kind of mundane life lessons and things that you do, you know, waiting in line for something. And then, the next episode will be a deep introspective look at the Catholic Church and,
or the cycling of bullying.
Yeah. The bully cycle.
And, yeah. And it's funny on the one, it kind of explores, I think maybe I'm reading more into it than there should be, but humor itself, what we find funny.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that I think he'll start with his stand up and he'll be telling these jokes and everyone's laughing and it's funny. And then you go into this character in his life and stuff like this actually happens.
Mm.
And it's not always very funny.
Yeah, him talking about divorce and how it's like a time machine, but a time machine that goes the amount of time it takes to get there. This is why I'm not a stand-up comedian.
Right. It's he has a really nice way of, I think, kind of exposing to a certain extent, like the stuff that we find funny is sometimes the stuff that is also the hardest stuff to deal with.
Right. And it's not like he's judging the audience either, because he clearly is part of that.
Right.
And
yeah.
struggling with that.
And all of that sounds really pretentious, but it's really
not. But it's not.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I feel like it's actually totally watchable.
He's a guy
show.
Who wears a black t-shirt and jeans every day and is very much a
not dominant. Elbow patches like the three
right.
of us.
Right. No elbow patches and big cigars and beards.
Yeah. He's not up in his ivory tower judging us.
Right.
He eats a slice of pizza
in every credits sequence.
Who doesn't like pizza?
He's just overweight enough to be relatable.
Can I help you?
It's okay. I'm a cop.
Maybe you should read the machine its rights.
That's funny.
Mm. Can I tell you a secret?
Please.
If you unplug it, and then you plug it back in again, the candy just drops right down.
Is that right?
Yes, and it's technically legal.
Give it a shot. she named my daughter. I only got one left.
We can go, Dutch.
Number seven on our list of top TV shows of 2010 is another one that has
dinosaurs.
Dearly departed us. It has nothing to do with dinosaurs.
Wasn't there a dinosaur one time?
No.
We thought it was a dinosaur, but it just turned out to be the smoke monster.
I'm going to say it was still a dinosaur. I know what we're talking about. And I think the ending was up for interpretation, and my interpretation is that...
Is that it was dinosaurs
It was dinosaurs controlling stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Dinosaurs that escaped from the lost world.
Okay.
That's where Lost comes from. Do you think there'll be another TV show just called The
That's
World?
That's an interesting theory.
See, that's my theory.
My theory is that Sawyer is a con man.
Our favorite thing to do is Lost theories, where they're not actually theories at all. They're just facts.
Just things that happen on the show.
We call them Minnesota Mom Lost theories.
My Lost theory is that it is no longer a television program.
Oh.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's over.
I think, Qualler, you do a good explanation of why the ending to the show, which a lot of people... I mean, it was expected. A lot of fanboys cried their eyes out at in
or
a negative
fan
way.
Girls.
Or fangirls.
Fan
just kidding.
People.
They don't exist.
Fan people. They don't exist. But tell us why you thought it ended out on a high note.
The characters. I think the characters... the show, to me, was about the characters and the characters' journey. And there was a sense of closure for pretty much all of the characters. And... go with all the theories. They explained a lot more theories to me, tied up a lot more loose ends than they really even needed to. I don't think a series finale that would have said, well, you see, the donkey wheel was actually a wheel that... I don't think that would have been very good television.
No.
To me, over the course of six seasons, the thing that hooked me to Lost was the emotions and the character interactions.
And not all the crazy stuff happening.
And, I mean, the crazy stuff happening was really cool, and it made me go, like, what? A lot. But,
It's not the reason you come back. I mean, you come back because... I mean, you don't like that thrill that those WTF twists and turns get you to, but you come back because you like the characters.
Yeah.
And
except for Jack, I hate him so much.
He redeemed himself.
Nope.
Yeah, no, he did.
A little bit.
He did.
So did you not like the ending, Bridget? Because it was very Jack-centric.
Yeah, I did not like the ending at first. The more I reflect on it, the more I like it.
I
didn't like that it was Jack-centered. I felt like the show started... But when I look at it in terms of the trajectory of the show, then it made sense to me.
Yeah.
Right?
And it wasn't
also,
really...
I liked Jack as a character, even though I dislike him. Does that make sense? I liked him as a part of the show.
Sure.
I liked that he was there.
You wouldn't hang out with Jack.
I wouldn't hang out with him. He was a Brandon Walsh. Straight up.
Yeah. And
he's like, oh, I'm such a good guy. But I guess I liked that they had bad stuff happening to him, and he did kind of have to
realize that he wasn't such a great guy. Spoiler alert, when he sacrificed himself and pulled the magic cork out of the whatever, which is,
which is irrelevant.
It's, you'll never be able to say for a very long time, talk about a series finale on ABC where somebody pulled a magic cork out of a... thing that made
the wellspring of life.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's some pretentious BS there that was pulled off with a lot of hard
network television.
Yeah. What got me there was he pulled that out and he repeated the line that Desmond said to him in the second season, see you in another life, brother. I think that was I cried my eyes out.
Yeah, I like thinking about I think they did tie up a lot of loose ends in terms of the characters, but I also think it was kind of a, if you're going to like Lost, you're going to not like Lost. I think it might on some level have to do with your life's philosophy. So if you're someone who thinks that everything is connected, everything has loose ends to be tied up.
Mm.
If there's every single thing that happens, there's some kind of overarching reason, then you're not going to be too happy with it. And I felt like the writers were kind of, saying to those people specifically, I felt like they did a lot of setting you up for like, oh, that's what it means. And like, nope, it doesn't, just kidding. And I kind of feel like that's what life is. a little bit. I mean, like, we're trying to find all these connections. I loved that when we traced it back further and further and further.
Jacob and the Man in Black.
Jacob and the Man in Black and all of the traditions, all of the mysticism, all of the, I guess what you could call religious aspects that surrounded the island. The further you traced it back, you realized, like, these were just some guys that got stranded here, too. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like everything has an origin story.
Searching for meaning, you go to the origin, and then you see that
and then
it's
you have to know
pretty
what,
much the same as what we're
right,
doing
and then
right
you,
now.
It, all it does is bring up more questions. Well, what's the origin story of that? So there's always an origin story of some, like, I liked that. I felt
talking
that it
about
was
the
an interesting
across the sea.
Yeah, but I felt that it was an interesting commentary, not on just like, hey, viewers at home, this is where we're going with the show. So if you want it all to be something from like Cain and Abel, it's not. Or if you right. you know what I like, if you want something like that. But also, I thought it was interesting. I felt like they were saying this is our take on culture, on religion, on a lot of this stuff that we cling to. That we're like, you know, it builds up and it gathers momentum over time. But if you trace it back, like,
and they were confident.
The people
about
at the
it.
Beginning didn't really know what they were doing any more than we did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was kind of beautiful about the show, because they also weren't saying it's meaningless, right? Because right. Jack still had to do, they still had to do this stuff. So it's not like
they were able to find a fine line between keeping it open ended, but still being very confident about their vision and interpretation of the show.
Yeah, I the more I think about it, the more I liked it. Even though originally the ending, I was kind of like, eh.
As a whole season,
as a whole series, I liked it a lot.
I could have done without a little bit of the temple stuff.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
We you know we could talk
spinning.
About Lost for
we could,
days and
we
days.
We could do our whole
entire episode about
we could do
Lost.
Our whole series of podcasts about
if you're
Lost.
Interested in reading my dissertation, Lost : An American Dream : no, I'm just
where
kidding.
Did we come from?
Yeah, where did we come from? ? ?
Well, there's still footnote. Somebody some wonderful person retweeted me who's still doing a Lost blog because I said something about
nice.
Lost when I was tweeting, and so they're still Lost.
Oh yeah, and you could blog about this S forever. It's good. It's good stuff. Sure. I don't think we're gonna see anything like it on network television in a long time.
No, perhaps ever.
Under my tutelage, you will grow from boys into men, from men into gladiators, and from gladiators into Swansons. Behold, the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness. I've been developing the Swanson Pyramid of Greatness for years. It's a perfectly calibrated recipe for maximum personal achievement. Categories include teamwork, very important, equally important, selfishness. Take what's yours. America, the only country that matters. If you want to experience other cultures, use an atlas or a ham radio. Cursing, there's only one bad word. Texas. Haircuts, there are three acceptable haircuts. High and tight, crew cut, buzz cut. Are the scissors broken in your house, son? Animal proteins, 4 to 8 servings daily. Cow, pig, chicken, deer, fish, for sport only, fish meat is practically a vegetable. Friends, 1 to 3 is sufficient. Capitalism, God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor. Skim milk.
Avoid it, sir.
Physical fitness, honor, facial hair, living in the woods, rage, poise, property rights, frankness, cut the bullshit, crying, B.O., cabins, skim milk. That's right, it's on here twice. Avoid it. Masonry, stillness, torso, intensity, old wooden sailing ships. They're beautiful.
Number 6, Parks and Recreation. Creators, Michael Schur.
Yep.
Greg Daniels.
Yeah.
This is another show that, I came to kind of late in the game, cause I thought the promos, looked kind of silly.
From the first season?
From the first season, yeah.
The second season, I think everybody agrees.
It's so funny.
They figured out what worked on the show.
Right.
This is now the show that makes me laugh out loud the most consistently and the most frequently.
And now when it's third season, everybody is even more on board with it because they've kind of solidified their new set of characters and cast. But second season, it was really interesting to see them how they got to that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially with Amy Poehler's character, I think she's one of the more compelling sitcom leads out there now. And especially because in the first season, they tried to just make her Michael Scott Redukes.
Yeah.
And now it's very much like she's obviously very intelligent and smart, but she's also so wacky and off the wall that you both care about her and laugh.
Those times that she goes off the wall are more funny because it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. And it's good to...
But you know it's there. It's
nice. And it's always for a reason now.
Right.
Right. And unlike the Michael Scott, she's good at her job. She's really good at her job.
Very,
you know,
cares about her job. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good character. Aziz Ansari, just...
Classic.
Makes me laugh and laugh. L-A-F-F. Adding Rob Lowe.
Ron fucking Swanson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could say any character, even like the really tiny ones, like Jerry and Donna.
Yeah.
I love Jerry.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny stuff. Even Squishface, I kind of like.
Yeah.
Squishface. Ann Perkins.
Ann Perkins.
Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
But I mean, this seems to be the common theme is with when
sour
talk about
face.
Sitcoms.
That's what I mean.
Sour face.
She's not squishy. No, not just squishy. She's always got that sour.
I think I'm
thinking of her. I have her too pigeonholed from her role in that movie.
About Social
the,
Network.
No. The
I love
movie.
You, man.
I love
yeah,
you,
I love you, man. Oh. Where it's just like, oh, I'm sour.
Yeah.
You boys want to have fun, but I don't want you to. And I feel like that carried over a little bit, but now they're finally writing better stuff for her, I think, in the latest episodes, and she's being allowed to be more than a one-note Sally, and she's funny.
And Chris Pratt, we should mention Andy as well.
Oh, yeah. Andy.
And I mean, the common theme that we keep coming back to is that the sitcoms that we choose here are not just funny, but they actually have a nice development of characters over time in which we care for them.
Right, because we're nerds too.
Yeah. The interaction between the characters is part of the comedy. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Oh yeah.
That's
is their relationships and how they change and one thing I've read about Parks and Rec is that you could take any combination of two characters and put them in a room together and give them a reason to be in that room together and there's going to be something, some new spark there that you didn't know
what's
before.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Man, I'm all blowed out, man. I like what y'all doing now. I like that.
Hey! Asshole! What you from?
Me?
You scratched up our fucking unit. Put the horn down. Put it on the ground.
The horn?
I said put it on the ground.
You got a hearing problem?
Hey, man, I don't have a case for my
Drop
horn.
Drop the goddamn horn!
Fuck.
Fuck. Hey! Hey, man! Oh. What are you doing, man?
He wasn't doing anything. What are you doing to him?
Get off! Get off!
What'd I do, man?
Speaking of characters, to go to our number five, it's really hard to beat David fucking Simon.
Yeah.
For character development, and Treme is our number five on the list with creator Eric Overmyer as well on HBO.
See, and Treme, it's interesting because you was it the Chicago Code that you described as the Wire light?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of me that feels like Treme is the Wire hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, I think the writing, the character interaction, the acting, a lot of it is on par with the Wire, but in a lot of ways it's more palatable. I don't mean that as a critique of The Wire, because I think The Wire was what it was, and this is something different. But in a lot of ways, I think it's easier to watch because there's unlike The Wire, I think there's an underlying idea of hope and being able to rebuild a community. Whereas with The Wire, you couldn't do that without getting into the trope of the American dream. Yeah. Everything's going to be okay.
And you know, I think it's interesting you say that it's more palatable, because actually when I heard about Treme, I mean, after being so obsessed with The Wire for five seasons, and because The Wire, even though it was totally one of a kind, unique, it was still entrenched in some commonalities about TV that we've come to know, which is the cop show or the crime show. And Treme is—it's not a cop show, it's not a crime show. It's just about the citizen, like a group of citizens from New Orleans. And that
it's not based on any kind of familiar TV trope, if you will,
movie trope.
And I guess
either.
When I say I more palatable, the Wire gets hard for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I
totally get what you're saying when you say palatable, but I mean, I didn't realize how true a statement like that could be until I actually watched the show and try the actual experience of trying to take all that in and it being very easy, even though it doesn't have like a specific plot to it. There's these characters and you just have to get yourself invested in
their lives. It's sort of a Royal Tenenbaums type of plot.
But even Royal Tenenbaums, I mean, the plot is that he does not tell that he's
kinda,
dying or not.
But But it's a very, very loose plot
I think one thing is the first few episodes do feel very almost directionless, almost
because of the characters feel.
Well, but I think it takes a while to get into this particular universe in the same way that it took a while to get into The Wire. I mean, for me, I had to watch The Wire season one twice to actually feel like I was entrenched into The Wire. I think it's pretty similar in Treme in that
there's so much culture to absorb.
There's so much detail. You know, David Simon, we know that he is somebody who's going to throw as much real life detail into his shows as possible, make it as real as possible, and you know, that requires kind of a learning curve for the viewers. But
I mean, HBO loves David Simon nonetheless, even though he kept getting ignored for the acclaim on The Wire. But and now they're gonna have
Emmys
season.
Don't mean anything. It's okay.
Right. But but there's now a second season for Tremec.
We know he's great. And I would actually just quick, I guess, disagree. Yeah, the music was what made me able to get into this from the first episode.
I think that's the thing that
And I'm originally from Nolens, and I'm a saxophone player. So,
that's true, like Rob Lowe.
Yeah, much like Rob Lowe.
From St. Olens Fire.
we get so confused between characters and actors.
What's real?
We don't know. It doesn't matter. In this post-digital age. So that's number five, Treme, solidly in the middle of our list.
Oh, cool. A dark basement. I was just thinking we should be doing this in a dark basement.
Troy, why did you ditch your custom?
Why bring that up now, Abed? We might die down here.
All the more reason to get this ironed out. You called me a nerd up there. What defines a nerd? Committing to an awesome Halloween costume with your best friend? Is that what nerds do?
I don't know, Abed, because I'm not a nerd, which is why I'm not taking part in this nerdy conversation.
Shh, nerds! Did you hear that? Jeez!
It was just a cat.
Let's keep moving.
Holy crap!
What is up with that cat?
Is someone throwing it?
Let's keep moving. Let's not keep moving, because there is an insane cat down here.
But what about the zombies?
Back burner, Troy. This cat has to be dealt with. There it is. Grab it.
Get him. Let's go through there. Okay, that first will lead upstairs. The thermostat will be right
enough up
there.
With the thermostat, Abed. This is not pretend playtime, save the world time. It's quarter past. Let's get the hell out of this building. Time.
There's a window. All right, if we climb that dusty fence, we can hoist each other against the wall and then squeeze through it.
I vote we take the door.
He doesn't want to dirty his suit.
For real?
Close make the man, Troy.
What the? Hey!
Number four.
Is a show that you guys finally came around to. Is a
Qualler came around sooner than I did.
Community on NBC. Yeah. Creator Dan Harmon. Speaking of sitcoms and characters, the combination. I think the best thing that Community does, and I think you guys were sold on the Dungeons and Dragons episode recently.
Oh yeah, funny. It's always fun to laugh at nerds.
I think if we're specifically talking about 2010, Community still did this very well with its. First season, beginning or ending of first season, beginning of second season, is they don't just make you care about the characters, they don't just care about making you laugh, but they are constantly keeping you on your toes with the context and the different ways that they can tell those stories. And like the Dungeons and Dragons episode is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Where
that's very true.
I mean, not only is it a gimmick, people could argue about that if they wanted to, but
oh, give it up. TV is all about gimmicks,
right? I think that's what makes Community so great is that it doesn't care about whether or not it's being meta or whether or not it's including gimmicks. It cares about keeping you entertained and keeping you thinking about these characters in multiple different ways rather than just, oh, they work here together or, oh, they live here together.
Right. The Dungeons and Dragons episode sort of sold me. I still feel like it's sometimes a little too winky. I think that's just because as much as I love the soup, I don't love Joel McHale in this role because I think of him
super
so much
snarkster.
As, yeah, like I'm just like, ah, oh, comb your hair. I don't know. I like that Pierce has become such a bad guy.
But that
made me laugh. The more I'll get over it.
And the more
that.
you watch, you see the other characters make fun of Joel McHale's character
right.
for that very attribute.
Moving on to number three on our list, going away from
Okay, here's the top three.
Comedy.
The top three with
top three.
Probably the heaviest, the heaviest dramas on TV.
The heavy hitters.
So, what happens now?
What happens now? I'll tell you. What happens now? Your scumbag brother-in-law is finished. Done. You understand? I will own him when this is over. Every cent he earns, every cent his wife earns, is mine. Any place he goes, anywhere he turns, I'm gonna be there, grabbing my share. He'll be scrubbing toilets in Tijuana for pennies, and I'll be standing over him to get my cut. He'll see me when he wakes up in the morning, and when he crawls to sleep in whatever rat hole's left for him after I shred his house down. I will haunt his crusty ass forever until the day he sticks a gun up his mouth and pulls the trigger just to get me out of his head. That's what happens next.
Number three, and we're getting into the heavy hitters now, is Breaking Bad on AMC.
Yeah, we're done with his sitcoms. Here's Vince Gilligan's AMC drama. If we had to all just define what makes Breaking Bad so awesome in just one or two words. Qualler, go.
Tense drugs.
Intense. Many drugs. Bridget.
Super intense. Lots of drugs.
Yeah.
No, it's hard to talk about. And, you know,
Aaron Paul.
We could talk about this again forever and ever and ever, but it's
perfect combination of great action
and reaction.
Reaction.
Yeah, action and reaction.
Dialogue.
It's not acting, it's reacting.
A shift. I think the best thing about this is
serious drama.
Is it leaves you questioning who's good and who's bad.
What's good? What's
good and what's bad?
Where's the line?
It's your classic anti-hero, but in a way that constantly shifts between do you sympathize with them or do you not?
Right.
And especially with the third season.
It's like life.
It has it taken up a notch even more. And the thing I'm most surprised about Breaking Bad every time I hear it is that they didn't have this all planned out and they're actually doing it on the fly.
Yeah, the third season was written slapdash like that, yeah.
And that's ridiculously impressive.
It's great.
Yeah.
Okay, number two.
What's wrong? Elevator up?
I think I just broke up with Mark.
Oh. Really?
I think so.
So go home.
Nope. I'm ready to work. You win again.
You could have just told me it was your birthday.
Right, and there'd be no repercussions.
So now this is my fault?
Well, it's not my fault. You don't have a family or friends or anywhere else to go.
Go. Go run to him, like in the movies. You don't have to be here.
I do have to be here because of some stupid idea from Danny, who you had to hire because you stole his other stupid idea because you were drunk.
Don't get personal because you didn't do your work. And by the way, I know it kills you, but guess what? There is no Danny's idea. Everything that comes in here belongs to the agency.
You mean you?
As long as you still work here.
Is that a threat? Because I've already taken somebody up on one of those tonight.
Relax.
You know what? Here's a blank piece of paper. Why don't you turn that into glow coat?
Are you out of your mind? You gave me 20 ideas, and I picked out one of them that was a kernel that became that commercial.
So you remember?
I do. It was something about a cowboy. Congratulations.
No, it was something about a kid locked in a closet because his mother was making him wait for the floor to dry, which is basically the whole commercial.
It's a kernel.
Which you changed just enough so that it was yours.
I changed it into a commercial. What, are we going to shoot him in the dark in the closet? That's the way it works. There are no credits on commercials.
But you got the Clio.
It's your job. I give you money, you give me ideas.
And you never say thank you.
That's what the money is for. You're young. You will get your recognition. And honestly, it is absolutely ridiculous to be 2 years into your career and counting your ideas. Everything to you is an opportunity. And you should be thanking me every morning when you wake up, along with Jesus, for giving you another day.
Mad Men, creator Matthew Weiner.
Weiner, I think it is.
Weiner.
It's Weiner.
It's Weiner.
Weiner. Yeah. Weiner. As it's in Weiner. Wah, 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 wah. I'm just kidding. I love Mad Men. from AMC as well. AMC has a knack, it seems, for taking the television drama
Come
to the next level.
Come on, The Killing. My fingers are crossed.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope.
Okay, if you had to describe Breaking Bad in just one word.
Mad Men, you mean?
Mad Men, sorry. In just one word. Qualler. Go.
Suits.
Chris. Too slow. My turn.
oh God. That was my word. That was my answer, actually.
Yeah. Back to Qualler.
Wait, what's your word?
Slick your hair back.
You say back to Qualler. You didn't even get to say anything because you couldn't think of anything
what?
Either.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Just keep giving me words. Come on. Come on.
It's a show. It's a show that could really easily fall into the trap of either idealizing.
Mm-hmm.
American nostalgia, or going the other direction and saying, wow, look how far we've come, and it completely does neither.
No.
And
it doesn't even do both. It just goes own direction.
Yeah, and it's great.
Yeah, it's reflective, it's bold, it's stylish.
Really awesome female characters. I think maybe one of the first shows we've talked about today that has really great, strong female characters that are...
Gender politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
The fields are brown. This town has been divided.
We need to acknowledge the huge part you played in this redistricting.
We just brought this kid in this morning. His next stop is juvie for him, and that's a bad path.
If I need you to be here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
So what's it like being the guy who used to be Tim Riggins?
Still Tim Riggins.
Yeah, but... You know what I mean, though. You're all center of the universe in Texas one year and the next, boom, fall off the cliff.
This is as bad as anything I have ever seen on a football field.
Game is over. Dylan has forfeited.
I think you also could say that for our number one.
Number one. And it,
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
Number one.
From Peter Berg, executive producer
Jason Katims.
Katims. Thank you, Qualler.
This, and a network television show, I don't
And it's
one.
Funny to me.
How about that?
I mean, like, I almost want to be like, how did this end up at the top of our list when we look at all these critically acclaimed...
Everybody, I think everybody at the Blogulator, this is the one show that everybody
that
on the Blogulator
agree on.
Agrees they love.
And this is the one show that I've recommended it to as many people as I can, and every single person within a couple months comes back yeah. and says,
even though,
thank you, Bridget, you've changed my life. you know, I love you so much, I love your work.
Even though at first everybody thinks, really? The football show?
Right, but it's about everything.
That's why you don't judge a book by its cover.
Let's summarize this in one catchphrase. I'll go first. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Qualler.
I'm crying right now.
Chris.
He's crying. I'm crying right now. You said clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Yeah.
I'm going to say explosions in my heart.
Mm.
I'm gonna say, oh, come on now, y'all.
That's good. It's a great show. Great show.
And we're actually, I think this is counting technically for us, since we are not DirecTV subscribers, as the fourth season, correct?
Right, yeah, and yeah. I think part of this, yeah, it's eligible.
But the fifth season, we know is going to be good. What's the title, Qualler?
The series finale is called Always. And
doesn't that make you cry?
I'm already crying.
I'm picturing Coach Taylor on the field. Oh,
talking
my
to
goodness.
Vince. Yeah, Chris, you started watching season four.
I'm almost done with
Friday
season four. I started watching this entire show, I think, back in October, and I'm already almost done with season four. It's pretty amazing, not only how addictive it is, but how sprawling it is, in that it's, I mean, you guys were talking
epic
about
family drama.
You guys were talking about trash about the Panthers when I was in the middle of season two, I think, and I was like, why are you talking trash about the Panthers? And then finally,
oh, you'll get there.
And I figured it out as they completely
still in
switch
Lions, y'all.
And turn the whole game on its head. And I mean, I'm totally on board with you guys now. Okay, so if I had to say, I mean, I could come up with a single complaint for all these shows, but unfortunately, I love the fourth season, but I hate that we have to deal with having that murder mystery in there in the second season.
Oh, see? Loved that. Because it brought Landry and Tyra together, and because it was a little bit of a... I liked that in the second season it got a little bit... I liked that. I get everyone's complaint, but I wouldn't change a thing. I don't want to change a thing about you.
You live, you learn, right?
It's like your kid.
Right?
It's like they make mistakes. Are they perfect, but do you want to change them? No,
nevertheless, if anybody's out there thinking about starting Friday Night Lights and you get to the second season and you consider stopping, just keep going through.
Yeah,
keep
push
going
through. It's
still
worth
very
it.
Watchable in the second season, although it didn't make me... Did it become Dukes of Hazzard now, or what?
A little bit. But it, okay, but the murder mystery, like, that's the vehicle through which we learn about Landry.
They could have done
you,
it.
Like, they could have done it with a different.
That's how we already, did it.
We learned about Landry.
There were still poignant moments in that when Landry was like, "I'm choosing between going to jail and going to hell." Like, I feel like it's wacky. But
if
like,
if a show had to do a plot like that, I would. I'm glad it was Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
But there was other ways they could have done
it. As well as they could.
Yeah. So that's our first episode, guys.
Yeah, sweet. Thanks for joining us. This has been Blogulator Radio.
Until next time, find us online at theblogulator.com.
And be sure to check back for more TV Tyranny.
Because our opinions are valid.